of course, keeps changing his definitions and his goals. The leadership has changed in that sense. Yes, there has been some change within the Islamic Republic, but the institutions have not collapsed. Internal dynamics of Islamic Republic have functioned to replace new individuals for each positions, and the killing and assassinations of leadership of Islamic Republic is not something new. Killing of the head of the state is new. This had not happened for a long time or in Islamic Republic. But up to the level of president, we have had senior leadership of Islamic Republic being assassinated in 1980s, and they have been replaced. So I don't think the regime has changed, because these are the new leadership is not coming from outside the regime. In most cases, such as Mojtaba Khamenei, that is now the new leader, or Zulqadr, that became the secretary of the High Council for National Security, the new leadership have been even more hawkish than previous leadership. So it is, in some way, it is true that the leadership has changed and it has become more hardline and hawkish.
We're going to continue this discussion and post online at democracynow.org with Professor Ali Khadivar, fellow at the Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Studies at Harvard University, associate professor of sociology and international studies at Boston College. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for a development associate position to support our fundraising team. Learn more at democracynow.org. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. This is another edition of Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Earth Day is around the corner. Celebrate with KBOO at our Earth Day tree planting open house, April 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mingle with other Earth-conscious radio heads, enjoy snacks and drinks, and become a part of KBOO's roots. That's April 22nd, 11 a.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, for KBOO's Earth Day Tree Planting Open House.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. We are broadcasting 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 in Corvallis via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.FM. I am Cecil, and today is Monday, the 30th of March, 2026. And if you are listening live, it is 8:01 a.m. Our phone numbers for you to call and participate in conversations are 503-231-8187. And thank you so much for joining us this morning and for being a part of our KBOO family, audience, community, whatever words that you are comfortable with. We're all in this together, and we are hopefully creating a world that we want to live and to share with our siblings, and to leave prepare for generations to come. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and I'm sure many of you participated in the rallies this weekend around the No Kings rally throughout the nation. So I am interested for us to share in conversations about your perspectives on those rallies. Ray and I, before the program began this morning, had a conversation, and one of the things that we pondered was that although many people and many communities participated in the third rally, and it's the third No Kings rallies in about a year or a little bit more than a year. One of the things we pondered was that indeed there was a lot of energy, but how do we measure success or failure? Certainly, if it's by the number of people gathering in the number of places, not only in the United States but throughout the world, do you measure it by the number of people who participated? Do you measure it by how many organized communities participated? Is that the measure of success? Related to that is our discussion was that what was the ask? What was the ask, and how do you measure it? Certainly, there were concerns about immigration and the overstep of federal agents. And in terms of immigration, there's certainly more so than the earlier two rallies with the war in Iran. That was certainly an ask. Certainly there were people concerned about social welfare programs and the cuts in social welfare programs, whether it's medical or food assistance. But there was, as all of us realized, there were multiple concerns and multiple asks. So how do you measure success? And what are the next steps? Maybe not as politically sensitive, but also I think it's important if you call in, why or why did you not participate in this rally, and where? What was the mood of those of you and those who gathered with you, or and what were the conversations you had? Among the conversations I participated in this weekend were with people not only in my neighborhood or my community, and I live in, I think many of us do, live in bubbles, so there's a lot of groupthink and people think a lot alike. But one of the things I was fascinated is conversation with people that they had with other people. Were you able, have you been able to have conversations with those who did not participate? I had several conversations with people who said that they no longer talk to certain members in their families because they are MAGA supporters. So if that's the case, how do we get beyond that? How do you engage people in conversations to transform society? What are the roles that people play? I had a couple of conversations with people in parts of the country who lived in solidly red communities. And one friend I had who lives in Pennsylvania and in the community where, the groundhog comes up, she mentioned, it's a pretty solidly red community in the community of, 1,800 people. that they had, and she was surprised, 300 people at their rally. So in this small, very red community, hundreds of people gathered. So for her, that was some success, because in her community, where voices for social justice seemed to be overwhelmed by the noise and the rhetoric of the right, she was pleased that hundreds of individuals were able to stand up and to witness for justice. But do we see, and do we realize how we measure success? So I'm interested in hearing your voices to hear, one, whether or not you participated in rallies, why or why not. What were the moods of those who participated? And what type of conversations did you have with your neighbors and family members? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And if or when there will be a next No Kings rally, and I don't know when the next one's planned, what is the point? What are the points? Coming up in a little bit more than a month is International Workers' Rights Day, May Day. That seems to me as a important point to organize around, date to organize around. And I do know that communities and organizations, labor and community organizers, are working to focus on actions on May Day. What then might be the example of things that might happen on May Day? What are the next steps, just generally, for creating sustainable movements? Among the conversations I had this weekend were people who, and mostly older people, and that's another conversation, whether the compositions of these rallies changed from the first to the second to the third. Were they more intergenerational? Were they more multiracial? Were they more reflective of the society we live in? Or was it, for lack of a better term, older white hippies standing around, probably because we remember a society, a time when probably people thought that they could make changes, and so they're reliving, or we are reliving those, for lack of a better term, glory days. What will it take to restore our society, and where do we go from here? I'm interested in your thoughts and on whether or not you have some reflections on the rallies this weekend. So, did you attend or did you not? Why or why not? What is your understanding of the ask? Why were you there? And what are the next steps? How do we engage with one another to not only confront the regime, but to create structures and to create ways in which we are able to take down, replace, offer an alternative to these regimes? Now, certainly, I know that some of the callers who are regulars will have common themes that we've heard over again. Some might call about rallying against the organizers and the lack of creativity. And so, yes, that is true. But what are the ways in which you are organizing to widen the network of participants and to create a better world? So, yes, given that it was very placid and very feel-good mood. But what are the specific asks, and how do we organize those folks who gathered to create more substantive changes? Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our caller. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Cecil. I'm doing pretty good. Just going to stop real quick. So, like you said, it was very placid. Not quite as vocal as we hope sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've actually noticed that very much around the Portland area with their rallies and everything. People aren't nearly as vocal as they could be, or maybe should be. But one of the biggest things I noticed this year, this time, the third time, was there was a lot more workers' unions, teachers' unions, healthcare workers' unions that actually gathered together over this convention center and marched the 1.2 miles over to the rally point, and then everybody marched again. And I think that the overall statement is that we're just done with the present course of, I don't even know what to call it anymore. It's not a king, but everybody's just showing up to say they're angry, but not really doing it angrily, which is kind of an interesting.
I think that's a very important point in terms of labor organizing, and you mentioned it here in Portland, they gather at the convention center, and so I think, you know, organizers general can take a lessons about the labor movement, workers' movement, and maybe incorporate not only the energy but the concerns of workers, and maybe glean something from that in terms of how we organize and how do we address specific concerns that people have around certain issues, whether it's workplace, whether it's ability to have a livable wage, whether it's ways in which we can counteract the overreach of these major corporations and billionaires. So maybe there's something there.
I think what I've also realized with the different groups, which is nice to have all these different groups, but there's still division, and we need to unite them and get them together to work together more, because that's the whole point of coming together in these things, is to get a unification and a motivation and a momentum going. And that's been kind of the problem with the protests, is that there's big protests and then there's a lot of dissipation between, and not nearly enough people standing together and, you know, shopping locally at the farm stands and stopping their shopping at the Kroger's and the the Ingles and the all the different Albertsons, Safeways, Walmart, especially Walmart and Amazon, like, and Trader Joe's, of all places, they're union busting. People union busting Trader Joe's. Hello, where are we shopping? What are we doing?
Yes.
Our money is our speech, as the Supreme Court has decided. The money is speech.
That's a
And if we're spending our money at the stores that are funding him, then we're spending our money to speak against our own self-interest.
Yes. Well, Ed, thank you so much. I think you raised that excellent points around noticing the participation of unions, the need to really ponder about these divisions that continue to divide us, and very specific ask in terms of how do we counteract corporatism. I have to go on to a few more callers, but I appreciate you for calling in.
The only way we can do it is with our money, man.
That's right.
Our money is our voice.
Our money is our voice. Thank you. Thank you, Ed. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO, and we will go to Tuwatsi is next, I believe. Good morning.
I wanted to let you know that I have gone to zero No King marches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lifelong activist, but as such, I can recognize the difference between controlled opposition and what is an effective direct action. So with controlled opposition, you take the energy of whichever movement and put it towards a dead end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the difference is with mutual aid or direct action, you choose an outcome that you're moving towards.
Yes.
And this is, I think, what you're asking.
Yes.
Is how are you choosing a direction that you're moving towards? So the direction that No Kings is moving towards, and what I've gleaned from news reporting, is now all of the lukewarm liberals are excited to vote. So at some point, the people who were marching need to recognize that you cannot vote fascism out of office. So the only thing that I'm doing, and what I encourage everyone else to do, is go to the most vulnerable. And I've been saying this on your show for a while now, because what happened on each of the No King marches is the people who are suffering fascism the most watch all of these entitled people walk right past them.
Yes.
And if 9 million people across the USA turned their attention to the most vulnerable, there would be no detention centers.
Yes.
So an example of wasted effort would be the McAdam protests. Nothing is accomplished in McAdam. There's zero accomplishments. They're proceeding as if those protesters weren't even there. Yes. All it does is elevate the budget for munitions that have to be replaced after they're fired on those people. Meanwhile, there's two other ICE facilities that I know of in Portland that are functioning fully without any protest. And so this, again, you won't find me at the McAdam protest. It's AstroTurf, and it's controlled opposition. Don't waste your effort on controlled opposition. Use your powers for good. Find the people who are harmed most. Tell them that you're there for them, and do your utmost to protect them. As a Native American person, I often think about all of the colonizers who stood by while my ancestors were genocided. And I think about them and wonder, were they doing No King's protests? Were they out being like, we will not stand for this Native American Holocaust? Meanwhile, just like walking around in circles and waving signs and shouting slogans while we were being massacred? Because you don't see a lot of stories of colonizers stepping in between militias who are doing massacres. You just don't.
Yes.
And we have to be clear-eyed about the fact that the next step is where all of these fascists turn their guns on us. We have to be absolutely clear-eyed about that. Because in authoritarian settings, as we saw in Rohingya, as we saw in Myanmar, as we saw in Rwanda, Croatia, as we saw in, you name it, the next step is they turn their guns on us.
Yes.
And we can't just no kings march our way into gunfire. We already lost T-Rex. We already lost Dag. We already lost Armenio. The far right are doing killings already, especially in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to just, not us, pardon me, for the lukewarm liberals to simply walk around in circles while we are being murdered is an insult. And I personally am offended that they're willing to be, have their energy diminished and be used for a photo op to encourage people to vote while the fascists are murdering us. And they're going to keep murdering us. They have actually planned it out and broadcast it, even on the Lars Larson show on the air. They said, we have a list of people. We have conspired to kill them in their beds. And you know who the Portland police attack? Protesters. Do they go and arrest the people who are plotting a genocide? No. Even when they explicitly say that they have it spelled out and broadcast it on the air, there is still no reckoning for the people doing the massacres. So when the far right do a genocide, don't anticipate the police stepping up. You might remember the last time the far right came to town, the police stood back and stood by while the Proud Boys attacked us. Mm-hmm. So, no, I did not go to the No Kings March. I did not find controlled opposition effective, and I don't think that the people who were engaging in it are doing it in any type of realistic effort to stop things. All they're doing is a token effort to say, oh yeah, I did something.
Sure.
I did something. And that's how controlled opposition works.
Right.
You find the people who are afraid to actually stand up, and you tell them, you don't have to stand up, just go for a nice walk with me, and that's a great way to express your outrage. Meanwhile, what we need is people to go and protect the vulnerable. Stop walking around in circles and protect the vulnerable. Okay, I'll let you go.
Hey,
I appreciate you, Abe.
Hey, I appreciate you so much, Tuwasi, for raising those points. A couple of things that I want to highlight that you said, controlled opposition as opposed to direct action or mutual aid, your observation of lukewarm activists, and also your way in which you express, rather than walking around those, look to those who are most vulnerable, you know, instead of marching by them, look to them and see what it is that these people, these communities need, and follow their leadership. Thank you so much. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Our last callers, Ed, talked about the No Kings protests and his observation that there would seem to be much more union organizing as a positive. After he called, Tuwasi shared their reflection about the limits of No Kings protests and their observation of control opposition as opposed to direct action, and the need to rather walk and pass the most vulnerable, to go to the most vulnerable and allow them to take leadership. Let's go to our next caller. Edie, good morning, Edie. It's good to hear from you.
Good morning. I could take any number of arguments and try to persuade people to take those sides that I sincerely believe. At the same time, this morning, on this phone call, I think it's important to celebrate that there are people who have never gone to a protest, have never gone to a rally, have never gone to a public hearing, have never done direct action, have never funded direct action, have never done jail support, have never housed people or provided safe homes and underground protection for folks. They're not ready for that yet, but yesterday, Saturday's No Kings was a way to move them a little bit more in that direction, that they are having their conscience affirmed and awakened and empowered, and they're taking a little bit more step, Now, they're not as far off to the left as I am. They'll never be. Very few people survive it, but it's so important to move more folks in the right direction and get that momentum going and support them that, no, we're not going to do perfection as the enemy of the good. We're just going to help people get a bit better, a little bit better, and then move it, because we are all going to be suffering, and it's all going to be horrific if we don't do more together, including those that have never made a sign or gone to a place like this in a crowd before. It's helping to move it. And anytime they have any sense of success and affirmation for their values and their courage, it helps them change their identity. And to see how they say that they're a Christian, that doesn't mean you have to be a Karl Rove right-wing bigot, fascist, sexist. If they see themselves as a responsible citizen, it doesn't mean complying with the false democratic votes. They are moving in the correct direction, and I want to encourage them. They're easily discouraged. They're easily cowed. So let's not contribute to that, because we're going to need them to come in the correct direction. And let's support them. Let's encourage them. Let's give them as many opportunities as possible. There were people who were tabling. There were people who were handing out information about trainings, about mutual aid. You know, there's a lot of folks who were bringing up the interconnectivity of the different issues, so that someone would find what issue they agree with, that they care about, and what style of making progress that they are comfortable with doing. And so for that, I celebrate it. I dearly love the folks who are organizing and doing so hard. They are far more left than what they were organizing for this to be, because they weren't trying to persuade those who were already persuaded. They were trying to welcome in and empower and protect and nurture and care for and inspire and build community with those who have not done it yet. And I think for that, they were extremely successful under really hard circumstances. And I commend them. There's a lot more behind the scenes that they did a phenomenal job that you may not know about. And let's do it all. I'm not going to go online and tell you about illegal or direct action things. It's not going to do it via the airwaves. But let's do everything we can with everyone and bring them along at their pace, in their way that they can, and not create stumbling blocks for them.
Thank you so much, Edie, for that affirmation of the need to organize and to recognize where people are, to walk with them, and to encourage them, as you said, moving them in the right directions, not to be easily discouraged or cowed, and finding ways to support them. Step by step, we build a movement. We need to, and as you reminded us, to welcome in, to protect and inspire, and to build community. I appreciate your words, and thank you for sharing with us this morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio, and our last caller, Edie, shared a word to those of us who might be discouraged or cynical about mass actions that we saw, such as this weekend, reminding us that people need to be encouraged, welcome in, and step by step to build community and moving people in the right direction, not to be easily discouraged. And no, they are not where we want them to be. We are not where we want to be. But if we continue with patience and encouragement, we can create a movement that incorporate many people as we seek to create a more just society. You're listening to More Talk Radio, and let's go to Lou, who has been waiting. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I wanted to second what Edie was talking about. I think there's a tendency for the left to actually kind of be self-isolationist and cynical. Mm. That's not helpful. Reaching out and building coalitions can include direct action. So far, No Kings hasn't done that. I hung out at the downtown rally at the Palestine table and the Code Pink table, which is Medea Benjamin's outfit. Mm-hmm. We were at Portland State able to bring Medea Benjamin to talk to 600 people. And the forums we've been doing at PSU focus on kind of what Edie was talking about, which is to get people who might never have participated in a protest before. Mm-hmm. Some people might be really vulnerable and poor mm-hmm. and houseless who would come to a meeting. Some people may be middle-class folks who the left, quote-unquote, might dismiss as walking around in circles. So my thought about your conversation with two or three people so far is two examples, and examples of inclusion and succeeding. And then an example of where there's lots of infighting and not succeeding. Mm. So starting with the positive example, most people don't know Cecil Knight. There's a film called No, with an exclamation point, N-O. And it was actually a real thing that happened at Portland State. We had not known about it. But it was Pinochet in Chile was actually voted out, and he was a fascist. And this is a true story. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was the coup against Allende, who was democratically elected. But there was a plebiscite a few years later in Chile, and Susan Sarandon, I think Jane Fonda, Christopher Reeve did commercials. It was a media campaign. Mm-hmm. And the big debate was between kind of this exact issue, the ideologically left, who wanted to talk about the horrors and the killings by Pinochet and the support of the U.S., which was accurate, but they found a media advisor who campaign managed this television commercial and campaigned to just vote no. And the no vote was a lot like media part of it. It was a lot like No Kings. It was broadening a coalition. And they won. And Pinochet left. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's going to work in all times. But at this point in the United States, King Trump is despised by many, not just in the 50 states, but internationally. Mm-hmm. So this example of voting fascism out, in that case, worked.
Yes.
And most people don't know about that. The other example mm-hmm. is the infighting between the left, and mm-hmm. Cecil probably, again, knows about this one. Spanish Civil War. There's the PUM, there's the Marxists, there's the opposition to Franco by the Communist Party. And because the coalition did not stick together mm-hmm. because they didn't expand it to people who might not have gone to protests at all. Franco succeeded and then kept going. And it was also a precursor to Mussolini and Hitler expanding the same sort of war globally. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question for Cecil is, and other callers, which sort of tactics work the best in your experience to expand into groups, either middle class mm-hmm. or perhaps houseless people or people of color who've suffered from racist and sexist oppression to make the coalition bigger? And that could include going towards goals of getting Trump out a lot sooner than waiting three more years or not, quote unquote, just taking back Congress with the Democratic Party. So that's my basic question is, what tactics and strategy do people think will work to build the coalition? Thanks for doing your program, Cecil.
Hey, thank you so, so much. Thank you, Lou. And thank you, Lou, for building on some of the remarks earlier in terms of the tendency on the left to be isolationists and reminding us of the need to build coalition including people who may never participated in a protest before, maybe comfortable middle-class people who've never participated, maybe those who are on the margins, the poor who find it unable to participate in a rally while they are concerned about more immediate basic human survival needs. And Lou also offered two examples. I don't want to say contrasting, but in terms of opposing fascism, the infighting in the 1930s, leading up to and through the Spanish Civil War, and the failure to create a united front to defeat the ruler, the fascists, which led up to, which contributed to the expansion of fascism in Europe in the World War II, as opposed to the organizing that took place in Chile, which was successful in voting out Pinochet, which is a response to, well, it is possible to vote out fascists, but all, and it, the way to do it might, you know, everyone may not be sophisticated, but something like just vote no might be a step in the right directions. Lots of different tactics. But we have lots of different callers. So let's go to our next caller, Linda. Good morning, Linda. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning. It's good to have this forum this morning. Thank you. Well, about 5,000 to 7,000 beautiful people made up of families with little tiny babies and strollers and dogs and teens and old hippies were at the Capitol in Salem. Mm. I've attended all three of the No Kings, and I will be going to more. I think we'll be in this for a while, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I served as a peacekeeper under the umbrella of Indivisible, who I think are the most organized people in our country right now. And Salem has their own chapter. All of those people, and many of the people that I saw at the rally, they're plugged in with feeding the homeless, mm-hmm. working at migrant rights, no ICE. I mean, the people on the street, the 5,000 and 7,000, are the people that are engaged. They don't just run, go to a rally and have fun making a sign and say, saw, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. They are the lifeline of our county. Mm. So I think I'm addressing that to add a previous caller. Mm-hmm. We need more participation to affect change. And this history has told us that 3.5% of the population can affect change all over the world. And I've learned that in my over 7 decades. Mm-hmm. And I've been an activist since the Vietnam War, so it's natural for me to continue, yes. even though I'm frustrated and scared and all the other things everybody else is. Mm-hmm. I like the previous caller who said we need to use our purchasing dollars wisely, and that is so true. But I see too much apathy, and I would like the people that are feeling a little apathetic and continue to do that and hide their heads in the sand, they need to, you know, they'll feel better if they participate in some of the solutions. Mm-hmm. And then you got to vote. You've mm-hmm. just got to vote. 66% of our country voted last time, and this is why we're looking at fascism right now. So I just want to say, get the ballot. Go to a town hall meeting with your candidate if you're confused about whether they're passionate or not. Most of them are volunteers locally. So, you know, be respectful of these people that step up.
Yes.
And that's kind of about all I have to say, but it was a beautiful day, and it energizes me, and I'm 74.
Yes. Go. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I was just shaking my head, and of course you can't see me shaking my head, but yes, I appreciate your remarks and your observation of you know, what took place in Salem, and the observation that we need to energize people, and that, in fact, that the participants are the lifeline of the movement, and they are those involved in doing the very important work that's happening. So, yes, we need to encourage and to move beyond apathy. Thank you for your decade-long activism. Thank you.
You bet. Always, always. And my hand is always out to help somebody else join the group, you know, and, you know, feel that energy. It makes you feel better when you're scared. And,
yeah, right. Hey, the world is fine. Come and join. Jump in.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. And this is More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. And we will go to our next caller, Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. You know, I've been thinking about how rare it is to grow up thinking for yourself and being a critical thinker, because it seems like the way things are set up, you just want to, people grow up becoming more performative, trying to fit in and being approved of and getting validated. I was looking at a biography of Tolstoy and get to the point of Ivan Ilyich, where it took him so far into his life to realize that he was just doing all these different things to fit in and to be approved of, and for us to get to a point where we recognize that we might be cowardly and complicit, and recognize that the Freirean thing of conscientization is the one thing that really frees people, by recognizing what's going on down in the grassroots, and that we can think we're this little bubble that we're in, it's comfortable, and we can have a huge click. And I really think that the more we recognize that there's a horrible genocide going on in the moment, and that it's looming large, that we be fortunate to take an opportunity to take a very closer inspection of the virtue of our intention, if we're just trying to kind of, you know, weigh in a way that we feel okay, and we're still kind of not really there. Really.
Are you there? Still there?
Yes, I do think it's difficult to look at our one-on-one relationships with one and another, that we don't find ourselves just finding some big click that we massage our own ego, to look closer to see how virtuous our intention really is.
Look closer to look at how virtue our intention really are.
Thank you for the discussion.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for your thoughts and sharing with us. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our callers this morning have been sharing their reflections on this weekend's activities and how do we organize. Several callers observe in a positive way in terms of what was happening. And although, yes, it wasn't the start of a revolution, but the need to organize, to find people where they are and to move them forward. Certainly, we must be also recognized of the need of the authoritarian regime to want to clamp down opposition and to encourage control opposition as opposed to direct action. Other callers and respondents, not disagreeing with that observation, also lifted up the need to find people where they are and to move them forward. All of this, regardless of the strategies we take, take a long time. It takes a lot of work. It takes patience. It takes how do we build community together. It is not easy, and we need to encourage one another. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and let's go to our next caller who has been waiting, and it's Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Good morning, Cecil and all. I am a veteran of She Peace Movement. I wanted to throw that out there.
Did you say veteran of the free speech movement?
No, I said She Peace Movement. Oh. I say she instead of the sometimes. like she Earth, okay. Mother Earth. But who wants peace more than women? Men, some can want it as much, but nobody wants it more. And my acronym for war, by the way, is Women Are Ravaged.
Okay.
All right. But I wanted to start with my request is that we stop saying our ask is. Our ask is pretty, pretty please with a cherry on top. It's a wimpy word. You could say our beg is. There used to be a demand.
Mm.
Unions had demands. Yes, anybody. Don't have to be always be met, but you got to start with, you know, some lofty goal, yes?
Yes. I like that, not to ask, demand, yeah.
So I'm talking about talking in circles. Tawassi mentioned walking in circles, because even if you're walking in a straight line, if you're talking in circles, there's a lot of phrases we're handed down. At the end of the day, Congress is working tirelessly. They're grilling big oil, you know. All this pompous stuff about them and very self-negating terms and phrases about us. But I'm going to end with this.
But before we end, I want to ask you, because I think I like that observation about talking in circle. How do we get, and I'm thinking that's not very productive. How do you suggest we get beyond that? Or is that an end goal in itself?
I don't have a whole lot of power to change anything, except that everything I do, what I do have is control of my words.
Mm.
And if I speak literally, more literally, I don't say kind of this or sort of that, okay? When I accomplish something, I say I did this, and this mm-hmm. is how we did it, you know? Yeah, kind of, sort of English, there's one.
Yes.
But the thing is so we all are speaking, and we could speak more real. And there's another one, in real time, in real soon time. What is that, you know?
Yes.
We're all, come on. But the thing is, we all have our word, and we could speak better. I suggest you read the Brass Check again. It really opened me up. I've been looking at this, how newspapers pervert and twist always.
What's the name of that again?
Proof, all right? But
what's the name of it?
With, huh?
What's,
go ahead.
What's the name of it? The Brass what?
The Brass Check, Upton Sinclair.
Oh,
yep,
mm-hmm.
Fantastic. There's a thing in there, it's so funny, okay, because he's humorous as well. He talks about how in one newspaper they claim that the socialists wanted to take over the government, and he simply adds that he doesn't know of any political organization in the country that does not wish to take over the government.
Right. Okay.
Every 4 years, the Republicans want to take it over, right? Next four,
then the Democrats. Okay.
So there's one. But I wanted to end on a very hopeful note, because at the park where we walk our dogs once a week, children are writing chalk on the pavement, on the path, and it says things like, stop war, no war, stop killing kids. It said that. War kills kids. It's amazing. These are not, nobody's organized this. These are children doing this.
Yes.
I haven't noticed. I'm just saying, I'm seeing their work. And what I'm getting at is, these are the new protesters. They're not waiting.
Indeed.
I think it had a lot to do with that bombing at the school in Iran the first day, right? There
yes.
you go. That's right in your face, okay? But they're just going, no.
No, right.
You
and they can identify
the
with that.
That gets bombed, huh? Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Tantra. We have a couple more callers, so I need to reach out to them before our hour is over. But I appreciate your thoughts and your words and reminding us to speak directly. Thank you so much. And we will go to Jeff right now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Cecil. Thank you for your show, and thanks for taking my call. And thank you for cable itself. It's astonishing to me. And words do have power. After all, what was in the beginning was the word.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, it's astonishing to me that the church writ largely, of every denomination of the Christian faith, from the Catholics and Protestants to the Evangelicals and the Fundamentalists, has been co-opted by this regime. And the church has so much more responsibility to speak words of truth And unfortunately, it has been co-opted. And now the church has stepped right in line with the aims of a dictatorial power. Often, the evangelicals are in line because they see this as the fulfillment of words of prophecy written by a madman in a cave called St. John the Divine. And the fundamentalist evangelical radical Christians believe that this is an opportunity to bring about Armageddon. And the church can do a lot better than it is doing.
Let me respond to you in part, and I would like to have a more extensive conversation because I think you raise a very legitimate point. I think it's interesting that this weekend, No Kings rally took place on the same weekend in which the Western Church celebrates Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is that time when Jesus opposed the authoritarian regime by creating a nonviolent army to go in and to challenge the regime. Churches throughout the nation on yesterday, in Oregon, I know it happened in Hillsboro and Salem, in Eugene and in Portland, tried to reclaim the nonviolent anti-authoritarian Jesus by saying Palm Sunday was not a parade, it was a nonviolent march of revolutions. And so churches were beginning to counteract white Christian nationalism. Certainly not enough, but as Jesus often challenged the religious authority, I think you're right on that those in faith circles need to challenge as well. So I need to let you go because we have a couple more callers and we only have three more minutes. Okay, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your thoughts. And let's go to Shanisa. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I want to just say that I am a very proud black woman who was a part of the 92% who voted, I feel, in the right direction. Mm. I think there needs to be more courage in the communities, white communities, and those other communities who closeted voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. There needs to be honest conversations around with your family members around what is happening, what are you afraid of, that you would vote against the interests of all people. Mm. I think those conversations need to be had more so. The marching is great. Mm-hmm. The marching is great, but marching without action, meaning going to the polls, don't come out for a march and then turn around and go vote for Trump the next day. You know, get out and don't just do the marching, show in action. We need action to affect change.
Exactly. I appreciate your thought. Thank you so much, Shanisa, for calling.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye now. And let's go to our last caller, Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Yes, I'm glad I got in. I listened to the very beginning when the first person talked kind of positive about all the marching. Then the second guy, Wazzy or something, come in talking kind of against it. And you got to beware of these people because they feel that they'll destroy the good because looking for the perfect. Mm. And we've lost a lot of candidates for president we could have had by that kind of desire of trying to get the most perfect person. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate your thoughts and your observation. Yes, I appreciate everyone calling in. I think Dave was an appropriate last caller, reminding us that oftentimes we destroy the good while looking for the perfect, and certainly no tactic, no way, no candidate will be the end all and be all. And as many of the callers reminded us, that it take all of us doing what we can, where we can, speaking with our neighbors, as Shanisa said, having those conversations with those who might even be marching, who then vote for Trump. And we need to encourage one another, to build community, not to be isolated. It, we need to prepare ourselves for the long struggle. It is not something that we can solve in a moment, in an election cycle. As the great John Lewis reminded us, it's generational. It's generational. It did not solve in one generation. And as we, either as elders, we can do things, and we know what we've done in the past. But we can look to, as Tangent also said, look at those who are following us and children who are writing on chalk on the sidewalk, stop war. It's a long, long struggle, but it's a struggle that many of us believe is a one in which will help build a better community. We will not get there in our lifetime, but as one caller reminded us, we can, each one of us, make a difference, do a little bit, so that things can be just a little bit better for just a little more people in just a little bit of time. Be encouraged, do not give up the struggle, and remember that there are many people surrounding and supporting one another. Take care of yourself, take care of your communities. I'm Cecil, this is More Talk Radio, and I will speak with you next time.
This is Bill McKibben coming at you on KBOO, Portland, Oregon.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934.